The world of cybersecurity, it just never stands still, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, keeping pace with threats is one thing, but figuring out how the companies actually doing the defending have changed over time.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating.
It really is. And that's what we're diving into today. We've got this great audio recording. It's a conversation with someone deeply involved with ISIS cybersecurity.
Yeah, someone who saw a lot of its history unfold. So we're going to unpack that journey, right?
Exactly. The recording covers, you know, the founding story, the challenges they hit, big strategic moves, even where they see things going next. It's a proper look under the hood.
Okay, so our mission here is to pull out the key lessons. What can you learn about, say, adapting a business, dealing with tech shifts, and the human element in all that change? Let's get into it.
Okay, so ISIS cybersecurity, it actually started back in January 1992, founded by Rick Urich. Our source, the person we heard from, wasn't the founder, but joined pretty early on.
Right, and the name itself tells a bit of a story. Information systems architects.
Yeah, a bit formal. They quickly just became ISA, much easier.
And then a big change later, in 2019, they rebranded fully to ISA Cybersecurity. Drop the old name completely.
Which really shows that shift in focus, you know? They became laser-focused on cyber. It says a lot about needing to redefine yourself, doesn't it? Even ditching a name that worked before.
Totally. Businesses have to be willing to do that. So our interviewee, they joined in 98.
Yeah, 1998, after about 5 years at Hewlett-Packard. And it wasn't some big master plan, apparently. More like a connection through someone he used to work with. Bit of luck involved.
Happens all the time. And he became a partner pretty quickly after joining.
Seems so, yeah. Which just highlights how important those early folks are, the relationships they build. It can really steer the ship.
Okay, and then a really significant moment in 2014.
Yeah, tragically, the founder, Rick Urich, passed away. And our interviewee, who had been running sales up at that point, stepped up to lead the company.
Wow, that's a major transition. And amidst all that, they were already building strong bonds, right? And you mentioned a customer, David Reed.
That's a great story. He became a customer way back in November 98. And years later, after retiring, he actually came to work at ISA.
No kidding.
Yeah, it really speaks to those long-term relationships, holding on to talent and connections.
So initially, ISA was, like a lot of tech firms back then, a VAR, a value-added reseller.
Exactly. Selling hardware, software, maybe some support alongside it. That was the model.
But that wasn't their final form.
Not at all. The big pivot, the real game changer, happened around 2013 to 2015. They made a conscious choice to shift from reselling stuff to delivering cybersecurity services.
A complete 180, you said.
Pretty much, yeah. A fundamental shift in strategy. Again, it shows you've got to be willing to reinvent, even if the old way was making money.
That's a huge undertaking, going from products to services. I mean, what kind of challenges did that bring up internally?
Oh, I'm sure there were, you know, growing pains, sales teams needing new skills, technical folks shifting focus. It's a cultural change as much as operational.
Makes sense.
And it wasn't just what they offered. They also brought their managed service practice in-house around then. Stopped relying on vendor partners for that piece.
Taking control.
Right. More control over quality and delivery.
Okay. So they made this big shift, growth in the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't always easy, right? They hit some rough patches.
Definitely. No business journey is smooth. One thing they ran into was maybe trying to do too much. Expanding into sort of underlying IT processes like patch management.
Things that weren't their core cybersecurity strength.
Exactly. They realized maybe they were stretching themselves a bit thin there. I imagine there were debates like, should we allocate resources here? Is this really us?
So what did they figure out was their sweet spot?
They realized their real strength, their core value, was the eyes on glass. You know, the actual monitoring, triaging alerts, giving context, managing the client security tools really well. That was their thing.
That's a key insight. Focus on what you do best. Don't try to boil the ocean.
Absolutely. And that focus seems to have paid off in loyalty, too, because even when clients switched the underlying tech they were using.
They stuck with ISA for the security operations part.
Yeah, exactly. They valued ISA's expertise there.
Interesting. And there was another challenge mentioned, something about a hire to success strategy.
Right. Leading up to the pandemic, they scaled up staffing, kind of proactively betting on growth, which sounds smart, but...
But then maybe the growth didn't quite match the hiring pace.
Yeah, the increased costs hit them financially in 2021, 2022, especially if projects slowed down or budgets got tight during COVID aftermaths.
Oof. What indicators might have warned them sooner, looking back?
Maybe tracking the sales pipeline more closely against hiring? or watching client acquisition rates versus projections, it's always easier in hindsight, isn't it?
True. It just shows you need resilience, right? As a business owner, you learn from those struggles, you adapt. Okay, let's switch gears slightly. The build versus buy decision. Classic tech dilemma.
Totally. And ISA wrestled with this repeatedly, starting way back, maybe late 2000s, like 2009, for their managed services. Should we build our own tech, buy a company that has it, or just partner up, sort of rent it?
And they explored all those avenues.
Seems like it. Looked at acquisitions, thought about building from scratch, and leaned towards partnering, you know, renting, first in 2009 and then again around 2012.
But then came that big shift we talked about.
Yeah.
Around 2014-15.
Exactly. That's when they decided to build, to bring their security operations center, their SOC, in-house. They invested in what they saw as the best tech out there.
Begin and build the whole thing.
Right. They outsourced the physical stuff, the server, the data center. They focused on the operational know-how, the software, the process, but let specialists handle the hardware infrastructure.
That sounds like a smart middle ground for that time.
It was. But interestingly, they eventually moved away from even that model.
Oh.
They kind of realized that the vendors who actually make the security platforms, well, they're probably the best ones to maintain and update them, handle the routine background stuff.
Right. Why reinvent the wheel if the experts are already doing it, probably better and cheaper at scale? So what's the philosophy now?
Now it's more about leveraging those strong vendor platforms. Think Trellix, SentinelOne, Microsoft. ISA's value is putting their deep security operations expertise on top of those tools.
So they become the masters of using the tools, interpreting the data.
Precisely. They're the experts in running the security operations using those platforms.
And that integration gets really deep, you said, like showing up on client org charts.
Yeah, the interviewee mentioned that. It really shows the level of trust, that true partnership model they've built.
Incredible. Okay, let's think about people listening who might want to get into cybersecurity. What advice came out of this?
Well, first off, it's always changing, right? Especially with AI coming in strong, some tasks might get automated.
But that creates new opportunities too. Upskilling.
Definitely. And the advice kind of depends on what part of the business you're looking at. For sales, for instance.
What's key there?
Understanding the basics of security, yes. But also frameworks like NIST, governance, risk, compliance, GRC, and really getting what the customer is trying to achieve from a business perspective.
So it's not just tech specs.
No, far from it. They mentioned people coming only from infrastructure backgrounds sometimes struggle with that business context piece. Beyond just knowing NIST, what else helps in sales?
Good communication, obviously.
Yeah.
Being able to translate tech talk into business benefits, understanding different industries, their specific risks. That'd be vital.
For sure. And on the technical side?
Incident response, IR. Breach response. That skill set is apparently huge, really in demand, especially in places like Canada. Ontario was mentioned.
What's the career path there, and how do you stay current?
Usually starts with analyst roles, moves up to senior incident handler, maybe leadership. And staying current means constant learning, new threats, new attack methods, new recovery techniques. It's nonstop.
And what about just the general mindset you need in security?
You've got to be okay with automation and AI. See them as tools. They mentioned this 10-80-10 rule.
What's that?
The idea that automation handles maybe 80% of the work. But you still need human smarts at the beginning, the setup, the initial analysis, and at the end for the final decision making.
Okay, so humans aren't obsolete.
Not at all. And fundamentally, stay curious, be skeptical in a healthy way.
Good advice for life, really.
Huh, yeah. And remembering that tech is great, but people are often the first line of defense. So awareness, prevention, still absolutely crucial.
Right. So in this crowded market, how does ISA stand out? What's their edge?
Well, they've apparently invested pretty heavily in AI over the last, say, 12, 14 months.
How so?
Two ways. Using it internally to be more efficient.
Right.
And building AI into the solutions they offer clients. They talked about being plus AI, not AI plus.
Meaning AI isn't just sprinkled on top. It's foundational to their strategy going forward.
Okay, interesting distinction. And the other big differentiator is their Canadian identity.
Absolutely. They really lean into that. In today's world, being Canadian, focusing on data sovereignty, that's a big deal for many clients.
Offering stability, security, compared to maybe offshore options.
Exactly. Plus, they understand Canadian regulations, the business culture here. And, you know, there's the economic argument, too, supporting Canadian companies, creating jobs here, building resilience within Canada.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned a customer revelation earlier, a story about feedback.
Yeah, this was apparently quite a moment. They had deployed some tech for a client in ISA's own private cloud, and it wasn't going smoothly.
Yeah.
And the customer just laid it out there, basically said, look, what you're describing sounds like a you problem, not a me problem.
Ouch. Direct.
Very direct, but incredibly valuable feedback.
So how did they take that? What did they do?
It forced a rethink, a big one. Yeah. They realized trying to own the whole stack for the client wasn't always the right way. That comment was the catalyst.
So instead of ISA solving IS's tech problem,
they shifted to helping the customer manage their chosen tools on their platform or wherever it lived. It became a we problem. ISA, the customer, the tech vendor, all working together.
That's a fundamental shift in service delivery, driven by one blunt comment.
It really shows how powerful listening to your customers is and how it shaped their services over time. Like their specialized triage work for big Canadian organizations, that grew directly out of clients asking for help with specific needs.
It shows they became truly integrated. Okay, so looking ahead, what's the focus for ISA now?
Still very much the Canadian market. Healthcare, public sector are key areas mentioned.
But their work touches lots of sectors.
So. Oh, yeah. Energy, banking, insurance, lots of critical stuff, often working behind the scenes, keeping things secure.
And their main message to other businesses now?
It's really about AI. Think about it strategically, not just as a bolt-on, but as a core part of your business.
But be careful, too.
Definitely. Assess the risks. Data exposure is a big one with AI. You need that balance. Embrace the potential, but be smart and secure about how you do it.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive on ISA's cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Adaptability really stands out, doesn't it?
Hugely. Adaptability, keeping the customer central, making those brave pivots, and using new tech like AI, but staying true to your core strengths and where you come from.
Yeah, leveraging those regional strengths like their Canadian focus.
Which leads to maybe a final thought for you listening. As AI gets deeper into cybersecurity, how do organizations strike that balance? You know, push innovation, but manage the new risks that come with it.
And what role does that local, grounded expertise play in figuring all that out? Something to think about, for sure, as you navigate whatever changes are happening in your own world.